Well, good morning, and first my warm thanks to the organizers for inviting me to review on the current progress on the dynamics, really, of massive black hole in galactic nuclei. First, I want to acknowledge the precious collaboration of Simone Callegari, Massimo Dotti, Davide Fiacconi, Francesco Hard, Lucio, Carmen Montuori, and Marta for their influential work. Second, I want to invite you to have really a close view to this beautiful image, a recently discovered sample of dual active galactic nuclei in the near universe. In each frame, you can see two active black holes that are seeded at the center of galaxies on their way to interact and merge. And I think it is important to address the following questions. Will the black holes in these interacting galaxies descend over time into a common orbit and form a Keplerian binary? And will the binary coalesce shortly after? Coalescence is accompanied by a powerful emission of gravitational waves that we aim at detecting with forthcoming experiments like the pulsar timing array and maybe with ELISA. It is really a challenging problem because it is requiring to cover a wide dynamic range from the kilopascal scale of a galactic merger down to the teeny region when the two black hole horizons touch on microparsec scales. The problem is not new. Back in 1980, in an influential paper, Begelman, Blandford, and Rees discuss and study the approach and eventual coalescence of a massive binary in the remnant of a merger, and for ease of analysis, they focus on a spherical bulge with two black holes already at a separation of 100 parsecs, and they notice that there exist three dynamical phases on the path to coalescence that they describe in the plane of timescales versus black hole separation. Dynamical friction against the stars is controlling the in spiral down to a separation, a binary, where the two gravitational spheres of influence of the black holes touch, typically is around 10 parsecs. Dynamical friction keeps on hardening the binary, but as soon as the binding energy per unit mass is exceeding the kinetic energy per unit mass of the stars, dynamical friction gets inefficient simply because the binary is now rotating fast relative to the stars. This transition occurs at a hardening radius, which is a fraction of a binary, and from this moment on, hardening occurs through scattering of single stars plunging for nearly radial orbits. The hardening time now is increases with decreasing separation in a given background simply because the binary has a smaller and smaller cross-section, but eventually the binary transit and enter the so-called third phase of gravitational wave in spiral, and the transition radius is at about, say, 20 milliparsecs, and to give you a sense, the orbital period is of about 20 years and the circular velocity huge for thousands of kilometers per second. This holds true if you have indeed a large reservoir of stars to transit from the hardening to the GW phase. So you need really a massive ejection of stars of the order of the mass of the binary. However, stars are ejected, and this implies the depletion of the loss cone, the region in phase space populated by low angular momentum orbits, and the refilling of the loss cone occurring on the two-body relaxation time can be longer than the Hubble time. So the binary stalls, no further hardening, and this is the famous last parsec problem that was also seen in direct n-body studies with sufficiently high number of stars to avoid effect of spurious relaxation. How can we solve the last parsec problem? Well, the minimal hypothesis would be to think at a runaway increase of the eccentricity with a minor loss of binding energy, because the time scale for gravitational wave emission is decreasing as the eccentricity approaches unity, and this would reduce the mismatch between a hard and a GW, so the mismatch between the angular momentum at these two radii. Can the eccentricity really grow that far? Well, this is possible if the drag force, regardless the nature of the drag, is acting mostly at the apocenter of the black hole orbit, because in that case is exiting the apocenter with a lower tangential velocity and is forced to move on a more radial orbit, contrary to the case in which a drag force is most intense at pericenter. There, the black hole is forced to reduce the circularity, as it is the case of gravitational waves. During the hardening phase, let me very crude and fast, the binary is a source of angular momentum. And in the interaction with the star, the tendency is to deposit the angular momentum, so to increase the eccentricity. But this clearly depends on the structure of the underlying potential, as we will see from Pasil. Nevertheless, there is the need of a rapid refilling of the loss cone. But in reality, galaxies are not spherical, being the relic of a merger. And a sufficient degree of triaxiality and axisymmetry is required to solve the last parsec problem. Here, just I want to mention this beautiful merger of two bulges on an initially bound eccentric orbit. The remnant is triaxial, and so you can see the decay of the binary due to dynamical friction, and later on through the hardening by free body scattering and the increase of the eccentricity. In summary, in collisionless mergers, the last parsec problem appears to be sort of an artificial product of the spherical approximation. Hardening rate in spherical mergers that are still quite ideal are much higher than in spherical isolated model, and the coalescent times seem to cluster around 1 giga-year from the time of binary formation within the set of models that has been explored. And the lesson to learn is, please, we should attack the problem ab initio. The nuclei of merging galaxies are really expected to contain the largest concentration of cool and dense gas. And so we decided to inquire into the role of gas dynamics as an alternative in the process of black hole coalescence. We still have three major dynamical phases: the pairing, the migration, which is the hardening within a massive circumnuclear disk, and the gravitational wave phase. I will focus mostly on the pairing and the beginning of the migration, since Jorge then will continue the journey. First, major mergers of gas-rich Milky Way-like galaxies. If you start ab initio with a simulation when the dark matter halos start touching, there is the advantage of being able to trace first self-consistently the sinking of the gaseous and stellar disks against the dark matter background, to trace possible tidal inflows that may activate the dual activity on kiloparsec scales, and later to trace self-consistently the dynamics of the black holes in this time-varying and growing gravitational potential of a newly forming galaxy. Let me just focus on a one-to-one merger that has been tested against both SPH and AMR simulations, mainly by Lucek. What do we expect? Well, for sure, we expect the collision of the two gaseous galactic disks that you see here in these still frames. Tidal torques are redistributing the angular momentum, also via shocks, and at the end, you find the formation of a very massive nuclear disk of billion solar masses, 200 parsecs in size, 60 parsecs in height, still turbulent with non-axisymmetric features. And this nuclear disk is highly pressurized, mainly because the gas has been treated in this simulation as a one-phase medium with a polytropic energy equation of state with an index gamma that sort of mimic the thermodynamical state of gas in a gas-rich environment. And here you see just the map of the Thumperi parameter, which is exceeds by large unity. It is in this major massive nuclear disk, there is a lot of gas supply, that we witness the rapid sinking of the two black holes, that they're pairing, they are forming a binary, and an eccentric binary that is followed down to the force resolution limit. This is occurring after a few million years after the formation of the disk, and gas dynamical friction is the major source of the hardening and pairing of the binary. Caveat, the interstellar medium is multiphase, and even if the shrinking was rapid, the circumnuclear disk will probably go unstable to star formation, and we have been studying recently the dynamics of and the sinking of black holes in clumpy disks. And so in an hour or so, Davide Fiacconi will report on these new results. Just let me say that the picture won't change significantly. There will be some stochastic behavior in the orbit, which is sort of broadening the sinking time scale in this pairing phase. Well, but this was just one isolated simulation or two. We would like to know more about the black hole dynamics in general in massive circumnuclear axisymmetric self-gravitating disks. And for this reason, we dedicated high resolution simulations in a disk. Massive, very massive disk. There is a central black hole and the secondary, which is set on an arbitrarily eccentric orbit. And what we see here is that the action of the drag force is of inducing a major effect of circularization of the orbit. This can be simply understood because in that situation, so when you have underlying rotating background, the secondary black hole experiences the drag mostly at pericenter where a very clear wake develops, which is decelerating the object. When it is moving at apocenter, the wake moves ahead because the rotating underlying gas moves faster, and you have in fact, a net acceleration. And if you phase average, then you see that there is a loss of binding energy with little loss of angular momentum, and this is the cause of the circularization. So this implies a loss of memory of the initial eccentricity. And we could also see that even counter-rotating orbits gets retrograde in this disk. This is contrary to what is occurring in an isotropic stellar background where the eccentricity remains constant or mildly increased due to a more evenly distributed action of the dynamical friction. After circularization, gas dynamical torques keep on hardening the binary. You see this pattern, which is reminiscent to type 1 planet migration. A back of the envelope calculation shows that the ratio of this sort of migration time versus the dynamical friction time scales with the aspect ratio of the disk, and so it can be even more rapid. In this phase, during circularization, the two black holes have minimized the relative velocity with the gas, and they are able sort of growing their accretion disk that we could not resolve, but we could resolve the black hole sphere of influence in these simulations to map the momentum inflow across this boundary. And we could show that in this phase, even before the black hole form a binary, there is enough inflow of gas, mostly in the plane parallel to the nuclear disk, to align the spin of the black holes that were initially uncorrelated. This is occurring on a very short time scale, and if this spin configuration is maintained down to coalescence, and there is a nice paper by Cole and Julian Krolik that study the spin alignment on a later phase, you would expect average recoil velocity less than 100 kilometers. So this implies that the new black hole is going to be remain and be anchored into the parent galaxy after coalescence. Now here, a big uncertainty. Well, the binary keeps on hardening. The mass within the this gas is decreasing, and you would expect the binary to excavate a hollow cavity, so a gap. And from this moment on, the time of migration can get longer, but really stay tuned on Tok's talk, because he will describe this very interesting phase where you have the circumbinary disk that may be first self-gravitating and then turn into a Keplerian disk, because probably it is in this moment that there are the most interesting observational signature of a binary black hole. There has been a discussion in literature whether the binary will ever open this gap or not, and when this occurs, this depends on the viscosity, on the inflow of the mass at disposal, and there is no a clear panorama around this issue. So this leaves you with sort of uncertainty in the migration timescale, which is believed in any case to scale with the accretion rate, which is provided by the body disk. So maybe I skip the summary. I want just to emphasize that migration in this circumbinary disk is still a very interesting and unsolved issue. Also, we have to consider the competitive shrinking from the stellar interaction that are mostly completely ignored in these type of simulations, and we would like really to make a step ahead in this field. Last topic, black hole dynamics in unequal mass merger. Well, means when the mass of the interacting halos are 1 to 4 or 1 to 10. So you can clearly appreciate that if you have a little disk galaxy with a larger disk galaxy, more than a merger, this is a sort of accretion problem. When with Lucio, back very early, we were studying the sinking of dark matter satellites in larger dark matter halos with a Navarro-Frankenwhite profile, we were trying to compute the merging time versus the dynamical time at the virial radius of the main halo, which we know is scaling with the ratio of the mass of the host with the mass of the dark matter satellite, plus a fudge factor, which contains precious information about the orbital energy, orbital eccentricity of the satellite, and most importantly, the relative concentration of the two dark matter halos. And by performing simulation of life satellite, we found that there might be regimes in which you have the complete disruption of the satellite, or the merger down to the central region of the main halo, or just the survival of a part of the body of the dark matter satellite. So in what happens then to the black hole dynamics in minor mergers? Well, here is the outcome of a simulation of two disky Milky Way-like galaxies in a 1 to 10 ratio. The satellite galaxy host 30% of the gas in one case and no gas in the second case. Here I plot the black hole binary separation versus time, and in the case of a gas-rich merger, you can see that the two black holes are coming closer and closer, and when the disk galaxy is approaching the disk of the primary galaxy, the separation drops almost dramatically down to the force resolution limit, which is now large, 100 parsecs in this simulation. By contrast, in a dry merger, the black hole is sort of wandering at the periphery of the primary disk. What is the reason of this behavior and dichotomy? Well, here is just the image at the second perigalactic approach. At this time, we have seen in the simulation a concentrated star formation episode due to an inflow by compressive tide, which is later on accompanied by a change in the structure of the disk, which is becoming clumpy. But most of the gas will be later on round pressure stripped by the gas of the disk of the primary. Now the black hole is surrounded in this case by a stiff density core, which is sort of accelerating the drag by dynamical friction. And in this rotating again nuclear disk, the black hole orbit circularizes. This maximizes the accretion rate, and the mass of the secondary black hole increases. You can correlate in some way the final mass of the black hole to the final position at the end of the simulation. And here is what we find, that if you just take the case we have been considering, the mass ratio has increased because the secondary black hole has grown in mass and has reached the separation, which is consistent with the softening of the simulation. But the same galaxy with the same gas content, but with an inclined orbit of 45 degrees, instead delivers the black hole on a much wider orbit, because simply due to the inclination, we did not maximize the effect of the tides that has been perturbing the evolution early on, and in a sense, the black hole is wandering. So the ability of pairing seems to depend first on the strength of the torques in creating a dense stellar cuspid core around the black hole accretion, but also on the cosmological parameters of the orbit. So just in summary, I believe that the bottleneck in minor merger exists and is in the pairing phase. Baryonic physics and cosmology determine the outcome. There may exist a limiting mass ratio or a range of mass ratio around 0.1 below which coalescence is aborted or delayed. Fazil took the most successful simulation and continued the simulation in a purely stellar environment and found indeed that the black hole and final coalescence. Just as a final remark, Fazil has studied also minor merger, and he has seen that in pure stellar environment, when you decrease the mass ratio, you decrease the amount of triaxiality that you have seeded in the remnant galaxy, and so this makes coalescence a much longer process. After 30 years, well, I think there has been a number of advances. All studies have enriched the question of whether stars or gas and gas in a more realistic environment alleviate the last parsec problem. Still, knowledge, I believe, is still fragmented and incomplete, having explored a relatively small parameter space. And I leave you here with the list of further progress. Thank you.
Can you go back to the slide with the migration setup, please? Thank you.
Or yeah. This one, maybe?
I think it was a couple of slides before. for that. Sure. So this is a good place where I think protoplanetary theory can sort of make an impact. Can you tell me why you think that a secondary with a mass ratio of 10 to the minus 2 would not open a gap in that disk?
Well, first let me just be clear on the masses we are dealing with here. So in most of the cases, the mass ratio between the primary and secondary black hole is larger than 0.1 or 0.005. So we are not in the limit of a very small Q where you would expect continuous migration and maybe growth of the planet. Here, maybe the growth is not so important in this context. And we are mostly interested in binaries with a relatively large mass ratio for the reason I explain later. It's not obvious that you are able to drive a light black hole from the dark matter halo periphery down to the innermost part of this circumnuclear disk. These are just the innermost region. And so it is really not clear that the perturbation will remain in this state or it will really evolve into a gap. No simulation has still tracked this. But it is quite conceivable that at the end you will open a gap.
I mean, the minimum mass ratio in protoplanetary disks for fiducial parameters that you might use in this would be 10 to the minus 4.
Yes.
So this should open
should
a gap.
Occur.
And that will certainly impact, you know, how the spin of the black hole evolves, how much it accretes, and
yes,
how quickly it moves
yes.
in.
But it's likely, as has been recently shown, that when you enter really the migration phase with a gap, you can still make you are still trying to align the black hole to some extent to the orbital plane of the circumbinary disk.
Nice summary. You mentioned the circularization effect when gas and dissipation are important. Could you talk a little bit about some of the work indicating that you can have growth to very significant eccentricities when you have a circumbinary disk?
So I try to answer. We have shown with Constanze that during this phase, considering a simulation with already a hollow region, a gap open, the eccentricity grows up to a limiting value of 0.6. And, it's very important also the fact that we still see a lot of gaseous streams that are impacting on the binary. Do you still can change the spin of the two black holes in this phase? You show that you mainly, in a circular binary, you mainly keep them aligned with the binary orbit.
Yeah.
I don't see whether the eccentricity, provided the binary stays in the orbital plane, would produce a major damage on the spin.
Yeah, we actually did try to address that in our paper, and
yes?
It's a very small quantitative difference, nothing qualitative.
Okay. Great.
Aaron Hicks has some adaptive optics integral field unit observations of Seyfert nuclei and a control sample of non-Seyfert nuclei. And even though there's no indication of a merger in them, the Seyfert nuclei have two of the things that you mentioned. They have, compared to the non-Seyferts, they have a rather small, few hundred parsec thick disk of molecular gas in the center. And they also, maybe it's connected to that, have excess density of stars with a low velocity dispersion. Looks like it was maybe formed more recently. I don't know if it's connected to what.
Well, probably it would be marvelous if we could have a signature of a sort of a binary in this circumnuclear disk. In the early stages, the orbital period is very, very long. So it would be nice really to image the two black holes. And what is not clear, again, is the role of the stars that you are forming in the disk, whether they also contribute to the sinking of the binary. This is something very interesting. And also how thick or thin is the circumnuclear disk for all this theory to apply.
Okay. The plug, Aaron's data is on a poster in the lab.
Okay.
Monica, very nice talk. I was curious whether you had looked at cases of multiple secondaries grinding in.
Multiple are seen when you see when you do a cosmological simulation. So Fabio Governato and other Marta have seen through cosmological simulation that they also claim that the Milky Way halo is populated by a number of wandering black holes coming from the draining satellites.
No, I wonder how the have you looked at how the detailed dynamics could get much more complicated?
Well, maybe a bit of that will be addressed by Davide, that it's getting complicated when you have a clumpy disk, and so maybe it would be nice if Davide can show this.
You found that you could reverse a retrograde orbit, it would become a prograde orbit, which suggests that the angular momentum may pass close to zero as you get from one to the other. So a very close pericenter, is there any potential for anything interesting to happen during that point?
Well, we have seen the reversal of the angular momentum when the black hole are still far apart. And in this phase, you would expect dual activity on parsec scales because the two disks are on. When you have a counter-rotating object, maybe the accretion disk is small and the accretion is not. We have seen that the accretion becomes important only when you reach co-rotation. So I don't know whether I would expect a really visible signature. Maybe Constanze Rödig tomorrow will show the case of a retrograde orbit in a circumbinary disk with very fancy dynamics. And if you stay tuned on that talk, maybe this would be even more interested on a smaller scale. But on that scale, maybe you don't see the reversal because the black hole is invisible because it's not accreting.
On that topic, and maybe this will be best addressed in the later talk, but I guess I'm a little surprised that the black hole secondary will reverse in a if it starts out on a retrograde orbit, because it's going to be passing through so quickly it won't raise spiral density waves and it won't experience the same type of torques. And so if it creates a bow shock and it moves through without accreting very much, it doesn't necessarily need to. It can persist for quite a long time.
Well, what we have seen, it was really this effect in a very high resolution simulation where we could really trace very well also the change of angular momentum. And it was really passing through, not making a full orbit, because otherwise it would have plunged into the, and you really see that its force is dragged. This is because the action there is quite, the dynamical friction force is really, you have to think at a large scale sort of interaction. Yes. It's a different, complete, it's more dynamical friction, broad scale regime.
I was just saying that the regime that she was talking about is still the regime in which the wake of dynamical friction dominates the drag rather than the global torques of the disk. So.
Helena.
Just a comment to understand. But in this case, I thought you had also a rotating cusp of stars. Is that true?
No, you don't, the cusp of star is in the minor merger simulation.
Okay, sorry. Okay. So, but if you had, could the star exert a torque as well on the black hole and so absorbing the angular momentum?
No, the stars, well, what you imagine that this is just a bound object, and you can see like a rigid body which is moving into and experiencing the larger scale dynamical friction.
A question. You've stressed the importance of doing this in a cosmological scenario,
yes.
And therefore you're sensitive to parameters. So would you like to comment about the influence, like when these phenomena are occurring, or what is the class of objects in which these phenomena are occurring, and the importance of your initial, of what cosmological model you've used.
Yes. Well, actually, with Marta, we have we made a small plot. But in any case, I think it is important to understand that probably the merger events that are maybe leading to the coalescence are confined within a parameter space which is in between a fraction of, so Q 0.05 up to 1, and that certainly minor merger of dark matter halos are consumed over the cosmological timescale. And if you just plot the migration timescale of even light satellites, even if you go back at very large redshift, there is still enough room to make the minor merger effective. This is not really true for black holes and for the baryonic component, where you have to be careful. So we really may have events that let you the black hole wandering. Nevertheless, I would like to say that if we move back at a very large redshift, say when the universe was younger than 1 giga-year, galaxies were enormously gas-rich and very small, and there were not even many stars around. So, but the gas fraction was 90%, and so I see that there is room for many coalescences in a sense, because since if in the universe we are able of growing black holes from seed or whatever is their mass due to inflows, these inflows will also affect mostly any sort of black hole pair that form during the merger of dark matter halos. But if you ask me, can you quantify, that is still very difficult. So you have to consider a broad range of timescale. But
I just wanted to get a
sense. But this is just an opinion, so it's not physics.
Monica, you mentioned a couple of times, especially for the minor merger case, the importance of the growth of the process of accretion for the fate of the system. Does any of the simulation you mentioned also take into account the energy release associated to this growth?
No, there is
no feedback. It can unbound some of the gas around it or radiatively heat it?
It can.
Okay.
Not in even minor merger, but also in major merger, when you start thinking at the last phase of migration, the feedback of radiation. I don't know whether it is helping or not, because if the disk get really puffy, maybe you still have some drag or that helps.
Might be quite important then.
It may be. So this is one of the things we would like to